Wednesday, Thursday night, or Lo Zayin Adir Aleph, Tavshin Ayin Dalet, Var Halacha, and Chavis Alvodas. At the end of Shmona Esrei, let's say a person's in the middle of Elokai and it's Or L'Shani Meirah, and he wants to answer Kedusha. They're up to Kedusha. So, whether or not he said Yul Ratzon before Elokai and it's Or L'Shani Meirah, or if he didn't say Yul Ratzon, so the din is he can answer Kedusha. But the din is that the preferable way is to Mishnah Berurah Paskins, Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah, that the preferable way is to step back three steps, cut short Elokai Netzar. In other words, although you could answer Kedusha in the middle of Elokai Netzar L'Shanei Meirah, but it's preferable not to. What you're supposed to do is take three steps back. In other words, say Yul Ratzon Merfi, whether or not you said it before Elokai Netzar, but you always say it twice. Certainly if you only say it once at the end of Elokai Netzar, you should say it and step back three steps. In other words, it's preferable not to answer Kedusha in the middle of Elokai Netzar, but rather to cut it short, as the Mishnah Berurah says, it's Tachnunim after the Tefillah. You're not mechuyev to say them. So it's better to cut it short and to step three steps back and to answer Kedusha after the three steps back. Rav Chaim Kanievsky adds that you should say also Shalom Bimromov if you have a chance. But the din of the Shulchan Aruch is that rather than answering Kedusha in the middle of Elokai Netzar, which you could, it's better to take three steps back. You will say Yul Ratzon Merifi either again or for the first time before you take the three steps back. But the point of the halacha is that better than answering Kedusha in the middle of Elokai Netzar, because you're really still Omid Lefnei HaMelech, it's preferable to take the three steps back first, even if it means cutting short Elokai Netzar. Okay. So you cut it short, and then you take three steps back and you answer. Okay. Chavis Haldavis, Sharavis Hashem. And we're going back to the list of behavioral items that the Oev Hashem will exhibit. And actually it's number eight. Number eight is Mehem Simchaso V'chedvaso B'zchuyosov. So literally it means that you feel happy about doing mitzvahs, mitoch heshkoso lohen, because he is excited to do them, he loves doing them. Lo mitoch zechichos hadas v'esparus. We're not talking about, the Chavis Halavos explains that he's a balgaiva and he pats himself on the back and he feels superior to other people having accumulated zechusim, having done mitzvahs, but just an inner simcha. He doesn't have to tell people about it. The point is he feels successful. It's meaningful to him that he is, he's close to Hashem. He has done things which are presumably, pleasing to Hashem. So that means something to him. The Oev Hashem will care and he'll feel good about it. Again, not feeling good, Chavis Halavos speaks out in the Gaibadika sense, but you know, feeling successful, feeling he's accomplished something, feeling he's done something worthwhile. And the flip side, v'da'agosov v'da'avono, and he's worried, alaverosov, and he's not so happy about the things that he did that are not pleasing to Hashem. So he cares. He cares and feels good, feels successful that he's has done things pleasing to Hashem. That's like a good thing. He feels good about that. In the accomplished sense, he's accomplished something, he's done something, and he feels nervous and saddened by the things he did that are not good. Alav Erosov, mitoch tshuva mehem v'charata aleihem, ka'omro palgeimayim yordu einai alei shomru sorasecha. He cares, kitzah, he cares. It's real to him, and it's meaningful to him, and he cares. So that's number eight. Number nine, he says, he does things outside of the obligatory things, mitzvahs and aveiros. So he gives two examples, and then he focuses on one of the two examples. So we'll also just say them both, and then we'll focus on the other one. He says he's ha'isnadvus b'tzom b'yom, during the daytime he works on his precious and he fasts whenever he can. Imhoya gufo solver lesos, if it's not harmful to his health. So he fasts as a way of trying to do precious. That's what the Ohev Hashem does. And then the Chavis drops that, and then he focuses on the second thing he says, which is more shaykhis to us, because most people are not going to go around fasting. Ba'esnadvus betfila belayla tomid. Very interesting. He says at nighttime he will daven to Hashem. He means he talks to Hashem betfila. And that's at night. Now remember, if you remember, the Chavis HaLodes is night, was no electric lights, and all activity pretty much ceased. So, this is the equivalent of, let's say, 4 in the morning or 4:30 in the morning, when things are quiet and there's no hustle and bustle. Okay, we always have lights, but it's pretty much quiet, and you're alone with your thoughts. So he says, you daven then. You talk to Hashem then. He's not talking about davening Shachris. He's not talking about davening Mincha. He's not talking about davening Ma'ariv. So the Ohev Hashem will fast in the day, if his body is up to it, as a way of practicing precious, and at night he talks to Hashem. He shofech hasicho, shofech haslibo l'Hashem. Umashi echadati says nadvus betfila b'layla. The reason I talk about davening outside the boundaries of tefillah at night, v'avol bishazet tov gam b'yom. You can do that during the day too, but night is. Kitfilas alayla zaka, it's more pure, it's more real, it's more likely to happen, it's more connecting. Mitfilas hayom lekam upon him. And then he gives a list of around 6 or 7 things why at night, when things are quiet, and why it's more conducive to talking to Hashem than davening to Hashem than it is in the daytime, because you can really always theoretically do it.